Cognitive Impaired. Hello, this is Christy Walters for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Read to Succeed. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from several different books. Today's first book is called I Need My Monster, written by Amanda Knoll and illustrated by Howard McWilliam. Tonight, when I looked under the bed for my monster, I found this note instead. Gone fishing. Back in a week. Gabe. What was I going to do? I needed a monster under my bed. How was I supposed to get to sleep if my monster was gone? I tried to sleep, but it wasn't the same without Gabe. I missed his ragged breathing, his nose whistling, the scrabbling of his uncut claws. How would I ever get to sleep without Gabe's familiar, scary noises and his spooky green ooze? It was no use. Gabe would be gone for a week, and I just had to have a monster. I climbed quietly out of bed so my parents wouldn't hear me. Grown-ups have some strange ideas about monsters under beds. I knocked on the floorboards, then scrambled back under my covers. I waited, nervously. Would a new monster appear? What would he be like? Would his snorting be as cheerful as Gabe's? When I heard some creaking under my bed, I knew that the substitute monster had arrived. Good evening, said a low, breathy voice. My name is Herbert, and I will be your monster for the evening. Herbert? What kind of a name is that for a monster? You don't sound scary at all. Have you ever scared a kid before? Well, no, but I have read all the best books on the topic. Do you have long teeth and scratchy claws? I asked. No, but I have an overbite, and I'm a mouth breather. Listen. Herbert's panting was kind of scary, but it wasn't enough for me. Picky, picky, Herbert complained. Listen, Herbert, I'm sorry. I just don't think this is going to work. It's nothing personal, but I really need a monster with claws. Picky, picky, Herbert complained. As you wish, I'll go. There was some more creaking. Then Herbert was gone. Some scratching warned me that a second monster had appeared. Good evening, he said in a high, silky voice. My name is Ralph. I understand you need a monster with claws. If you would please lean over, I will hold out an arm for inspection. I crouched on the edge of the bed, hoping to see a horrible, shaggy arm with sharp, ragged nails. Instead, I was surprised to see sleekly brushed fur with smooth, shiny claws. Excuse me, I don't mean to be rude, I asked, but is that nail polish on your claws? Yes, it is, Ralph replied. I believe professional monsters should always be well-groomed. I could tell that this was not going to work, either. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Ralph, but I need a monster with scary claws, like Gabe's, I thought. I heard some more scratching, and I knew Ralph was gone. A minute later, a third voice from under the bed rasped, "Check out these claws, kid." I gathered my courage and peered over the edge. The claws were impressive, jagged and dark and razor sharp. So far, so good. I was a little nervous. Could you stick out your tail? I whispered. Sure, but don't get scared. I peeked through my fingers at the slimy tail slithering over the foot of my bed. That's when I noticed the bow. Are you a girl monster? Of course I am, she snapped. I'm Cynthia, Do you have a problem with that? Yeah, I do, I admitted. I definitely need a boy monster. Boy monsters are for boys and girl monsters are for girls. Everybody knows that. Well, aren't you a picky one? She sniffed. And then she was gone. Was I being too picky? No. I knew that my monster needed to be well-clawed and menacing. The whole point of having a monster, after all, was to keep me in bed, imagining all the scary stuff that could happen if I got out. Then I heard a shuffling noise and some slobbering. A fourth monster was under my bed. Hey, the name's Mac. One look at his claws proved that Mac was a big, scruffy boy monster. I shivered. Maybe this one would work out. Those are excellent claws, but do you have a long tail? I leaned over to see. No, my tail is stumpy, Mac slurped. But I do have an unusually long tongue. Why would I be afraid of a long tongue? I asked. Oh, I don't know, he said, trying to sound terrifying. You never know when I might lick you. I fell back on the bed, laughing. Well, if you're not even going to try to work with me, Mac whined. I held in my giggles. I really don't think you should send me away, he warned. Kids who reject five monsters in one night. I did not reject five monsters tonight, I interrupted. My regular monster went fishing. Fishing, eh? Maybe he just left because you're so picky. Fine, I'm out of here. But I wouldn't expect another monster tonight if I were you. How was I ever going to get to sleep without my monster? I was surprised to hear more creaking under the bed, loud creaking, with scratching. I thought no more monsters were going to appear tonight, I said. Sorry I'm late, kid. Whew, it was Gabe. I thought I would enjoy fishing, but I didn't, he explained. Those fish scare too easily. No challenge at all. You, however, are challenging, my friend. You're almost too old to be afraid of monsters. You keep me on my toes. Ah, toes. A delicious snack. The bed quivered as Gabe's stomach rumbled with hunger. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to start the evening with an ominous puddle of drool. I peeked over the edge of the bed. Green ooze spread soundlessly from underneath. Then the bed trembled as Gabe unfurled his spiked tail. He was daring me to guess where he might pop up. I shivered. So, you had some substitute monsters tonight, Gabe said, sharpening his claws on my bedpost. Were you scared? Then Gabe started tapping. I could tell he wanted to know if I still needed him. No other monster can scare me like you, I giggled, diving under my covers and pulling them up tight. Through the blanket, I heard Gabe's soft, comforting snorts. Ha! I knew it. We're made for each other, he growled. When my blanket started to slip off the bed, I knew Gabe was ready to eat. Now, if you could please stick out your foot, he said, I'd like to nibble your pinky. I yanked my blanket back up and scrunched my feet in so Gabe couldn't get them. No toes tonight, but you can have this, I offered, pushing a pillow off the bed. I didn't even hear it hit the floor. Gabe was back. The ooze was perfect. Everything was back to normal. I shivered again. I'd be asleep in no time. Today's next book is called Hey, That's My Monster, written by Amanda Knoll and illustrated by Howard McWilliam. Tonight, when I looked under the bed for my monster, I found this note instead. So long, kid. Gotta go. Someone needs me more than you do. Gabe. What? Gabe was my monster. Nobody needed him more than me. But someone sure did need a monster. My little sister, Emma. Now that Emma slept in a toddler bed, she liked to climb out, roam the house, and play noisy games at night. I know a monster would keep her in bed so she could fall asleep. But not my monster. I had to get Gabe back. I tiptoed across the hall to Emma's room. She wasn't even there. But Gabe was. I gulped, zoomed across the carpet, and leaped onto Emma's bed before Gabe could grab my toes. I whispered. Please go back to our room. I'll get Emma to sleep. You? You're going to get her to sleep? Ha! That's a good one. But you know what? I like you, kid, so I'll give you 3 chances. If she's not asleep, I'll be back. And Gabe was gone. Just then, Emma toddled into the room. She clearly needed a monster. Maybe she didn't know how to get one, but I did. Hey, Emma, I said, let's play. Can you knock on the floor? Emma knocked with a dinosaur. It worked. I heard some creaking under Emma's bed, and something sniffled. It squelched and dripped. So far, so good, I thought. This monster sounds scary enough for Emma. But Emma kept on playing. A slimo-covered monster slid out. It oozed towards Emma. Icky, she laughed, wiping one of the monster's noses. Icky, wipe! Emma wasn't scared at all. Excuse me, I said to the mucus monster. I didn't get your name. My name is Agatha, she said through stuffed noses. Tip for bed, Emma. Emma giggled and wiped some more. I knew this wouldn't work. Thanks, Agatha. Nice try, but I think we need a monster with claws. Agatha snuffled, and then she was gone. Emma, I coaxed again. Knock, knock. She knocked on the floor with a teapot this time, and I heard more creaking. Then a slippery tail slithered out from under the bed. The second monster rasped, I'm Cynthia. Much better, I thought, when I saw the jagged claws. Cynthia might be the perfect monster for Emma. But Emma blinked and said, pretty! Then she decorated Cynthia's tail with bracelets. Ugh, Cynthia snarled. I'm not here to play dress-up. I'm here to scare you into bed. Cynthia rattled louder, but Emma danced to the beat. I'm sorry, Cynthia, I said. This isn't going to work. Well, I never, she sniffed. And then she was gone. Cynthia, come back, Emma demanded, stomping on the floor. Excellent, I thought. Maybe that would summon the perfect monster for Emma. Tentacles swarmed from under the bed and an icy voice called, Whew! I shrank back in horror, and Emma was enchanted. Who's out of bed? The monster continued. Come to Vladimir. Emma high-fived one of the tentacles, and the third monster emerged. I already had doubts about this one, but he was my last chance. Vladimir, I asked, can you get Emma to sleep? Yes, he hissed, reaching for Emma. I can get her. Emma giggled and hopped over the tentacles like jump ropes. Oh, no, I blurted. She's not supposed to be having fun. This will never work. Vlad's tentacles dropped. He slunk under the bed, and he was gone. Sorry, Vlad, I called. Boy, was I sorry. I was about to lose Gabe forever. Now Emma was coloring and singing. Blabamir, blah, blah. Cynthia, ya, ya. Agatha, fa, fa. Gabe must have heard her because he was back. That's it, kid, he grunted. You had your 3 tries. Now it's my turn. Gabe's green ooze sizzled across the floor as he growled. Put the crayon down. Emma peered at my hulking, sharp-clawed monster and said, Fizzy! Hey, Gabe, I cheered. Emma isn't afraid of you. What? Gabe burst out from under the bed and loomed over Emma. Steam spurted from his ears. Get into bed, Gabe thundered. Emma hopped up, but she kept singing. Fuzzy, fuzzy monster. Gabe, I said, Emma's not scared enough to fall asleep. Please, let's go back to our room. No one can, kid. No can do, kid, Gabe growled. I may not be the perfect monster for Emma, but I'm the best so far. At least she's in bed now. I gotta stay here. You're on your own. I knew Emma needed Gabe, but he was my monster. How was I ever going to get to sleep without him? Just then, we heard a tiny noise. Emma froze. Gabe and I peered under the bed. Hick, 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 hick. Stella, what are you doing here? Gabe asked. Hi, Gabe, Stella said, tugging on her tutu. You forgot your snack. Mama thought you'd be hungry, so she sent this. Who knew? Gabe had a little sister, too. I thought Stella's hiccups were cute, but Emma obviously didn't. Stella sure noticed. She tiptoed closer, hiccuping with every step. From under her covers, Emma squeaked, shoo. Shoo, Stella repeated. Oh, shoo, that's where toes go. I love toes. Stella crept toward Emma's feet. Emma squealed, scrunched in her feet, and giggled. No toes, no toes. Gabe laughed. Stella, looks like you're the perfect monster for Emma. Now, if you don't mind, you can get her to sleep while I get back to what I do best. Stella nodded. Yep. I sighed with relief and switched off Emma's lamp. Then I ran to my room, leapt into bed, and scrunched in my feet so Gabe couldn't get them. I shivered happily. Emma had Stella. I had Gabe. Everything was back to normal. I shivered again. We'd all be asleep in no time. Our next book is called Scaredy Squirrel at Night by Melanie Watt. Scaredy Squirrel never sleeps. He'd rather stay awake than risk having a bad dream in the middle of the night. A few creatures Scaredy Squirrel is afraid could appear in a bad dream are ghosts, unicorns, dragons, fairies, vampire bats, or polka dot monsters. So he's very determined to stay awake by keeping busy all through the night. Scaredy's nighttime to-do list. 1. Count stars. Should keep you occupied for a while. 2. Play cymbals. Loud, annoying noise is sure to keep you wide awake. 3. Take up scrapbooking. Keeps you well organized and productive. So, night after night after night after night, Scaredy avoids sleeping. But side effects of sleepless nights may include energy loss, moodiness, poor reflexes, forgetfulness, drowsiness, hallucinations, confusion, and exhaustion. That's where Scaredy Squirrel comes face to face with something very alarming. Horoscopes. Scaredy Squirrel is a Libra, and his horoscope says, get ready. At midnight, all your dreams will come true. There's not a minute to lose. It's 11:43. It's time to prepare for the worst. A few things Scaredy Squirrel needs to face his bad dreams include a spotlight, cupcakes, banana peels, a fire extinguisher, safety cones, a fan, a teddy bear as a decoy, a sign that says do not disturb, a pillow and blanket, and molasses. Now, Scaredy Squirrel has created a bad dream action plan. Molasses will slow down a unicorn in a sticky situation. Dragons are a huge fire hazard, so keep extinguisher in tree. Not a fan of ghosts? Start the breeze and they'll be blown away by the fan. Place the Do Not Disturb sign upside down so bats can read it. Creatures think I'm sleeping here. They'll put the safety cones with the decoy bunny, the decoy bear, with the pillow and blanket in front of Scaredy Squirrel's tree, but he won't be there. Fairies have a sweet tooth. Distract him with the cupcakes. Polka dot monsters can't spot banana peels. Watch them slip and slide. Important. These creatures avoid light. Hide behind the spotlight, switch it on at midnight, and creatures will disappear. Remember, If all else fails, play dead until sunrise. So, Scaredy Squirrel gets into position. As he counts down to midnight, his bad dreams seem to come true one by one. But when he turns on the spotlight, hungry intruders appear. This was not part of the plan. Scaredy Squirrel panics. He steps in the molasses. He slips and slides on a banana peel. He stumbles over a safety cone. He lands on the pillow and plays dead and falls asleep. 1 hour later and 2 hours later. 8 hours later, Scaredy Squirrel finally wakes up. Benefits of a good night's sleep may include energy gain, happiness, better reflexes, sharper memory, good health, peacefulness, and cleverness, and clear thinking. Scaredy Squirrel forgets all about his bad dreams. He realizes they were just in his imagination and nothing horrible happened in the night. A good sleep has inspired him to get rid of a few things and replace his horoscope with something much more trustworthy, a fortune cookie. P.S. As for the fire extinguisher, well, a squirrel can never be too careful. And our last book for today is called Curious George, A Winter's Nap. One fall day, Bill and George went fishing. Bill saw George shivering. Maybe it was too cold to fish. On the way home, Bill told George that some animals, such as bears, go to sleep when it gets cold. They eat a lot in the fall. Then they hibernate, or sleep, almost all winter. George was curious. If he hibernated, he would miss the cold winter months. At home, George ate and ate. Maybe he would get sleepy and hibernate. Upstairs in bed, George tried to sleep, but his room was too bright. George closed the curtains. He painted a picture of the night sky. He still could not sleep. How did bears do it? George asked the man with the yellow hat about hibernation. This book says bears sleep in dark, quiet caves, said the man. That was it! George needed a cave. George hung toy bats. He put rocks in his bed. Now his room looked like a cave. George settled in for his long winter nap. Uh-oh! Now what? George could hear sounds outside. Pigs oinked, cows mooed, chickens clucked. George shushed them, but they would not be quiet. George covered his ears. The animals were not as loud, but his room was not silent yet. George taped his blanket over the window. Now it was dark and quiet. Finally, George fell asleep. He slept in his monkey cave just like a bear. After a long time, George woke up. He had done it. He had hibernated. How did you sleep last night? Asked the man. Last night? George had slept only one night, not all winter? George was sad. Then the man had an idea. He took out a box of winter things. The man reminded George how fun winter was. They could sled and ski together. George did not want to miss winter after all. And it looks like we still have time for another book. Yay! So what I think is our last book is A Crocodile Should Never Skip Breakfast by Colleen Larmore. Croc is running very late for his job as the river fairy. Can't be late. Can't gurgle be gurgle late. Gurgle. Trying to brush his teeth. What about breakfast? Nope, not enough time. It's okay, he'll grab donuts from the hippo hut on the way. It's okay, I'll grab donuts from the hippo hut on the way. Told you. Oh, dear. Croc is at the Hippo Hut, and they're sold out. Hey, Croc, fresh batch coming up. Too late. Time for the emergency backup snack. Ew. Splat. Farewell, stinky banana. Finally, made it to work. Croc can eat here. Croc, you're late. Hurry, hurry. We have passengers waiting. Or not. All aboard. Croc daydreams of donuts, snappy snacks, and other things. It is a busy morning on the river, and Croc is getting hungrier and heavier. Crocky! Any chance of an early lunch break today, boss? Goodness me, Croc, time enough for that. It's not been long since breakfast. Gulp. Now Croc is dreaming about all the things that he could have been eating. Think donuts. Think donuts. Think donuts. Think donuts, Croc. Not about the animals on your back. Oh, dear. Croc! Looks like Croc has unsettled everybody off of his back. Thought you might be needing your morning donuts, Croc. Oh, here comes Hippo. I should have known better, Hippo. A crocodile should never skip breakfast. And neither should a hippo. The next morning, Hippo is asleep when the alarm goes off. But it looks like Hippo's can't hear her alarm. And Croc shows up to the Hippo Hut for donuts. And Hippo isn't there, and it says it's sold out again. I hope you learn from Croc and you don't skip breakfast, even if you're running late. Did you know that for breakfast, crocodiles eat fish, birds, and small mammals? I wonder what you eat for breakfast. We have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. We hope you enjoy listening. Please join us next time. I'm Christy Walters, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Visit ncreadingservice.org for more information about NCRS. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.